Once a year about this time, the people of Cueva de Villaluz in southeastern Mexico gather near the cave to pray. It's time to harvest the fish swimming in the waters outside the cave. The ritual is a tradition for the indigenous people living in this remote part of Mexico. Jim Metzner is host and producer of the radio feature Pulse of the Planet and joins us. Hi, Jim.
Hi.
Well, Jim, I guess that people are praying for a good harvest here. Why is this a sacred place?
Well, the cave has been sacred for centuries. Technically, the ceremony is a reenactment of an ancient ceremony. These are descendants of Mayan peoples. The waters of this cave, the fish who live in the waters of the cave are plentiful, but the people who live there have been smart enough not to overfish these waters. And so they have a taboo, you could say, that the waters can be fished or harvested of their fish only once a year, or I was told, at times of great need, say during a drought.
Well, what kind of fish are we talking about here?
They're little guys. You know the aquarium fish called mollies?
Mm-hmm.
Well, these are relatives of the mollies, except when I think of molly, I think of a blackfish. These are pink fish, and they are maybe an inch long, but there's zillions of them. And so we're talking about thousands of pounds of fish are harvested by, say, about 1,000 people on this particular day.
Now, we're not talking here about just dropping a line into the water and sitting there for a few hours, maybe having a beer and waiting for the fish to bite. I'd like us to take a listen now to how they do it in Cueva de Villaluz.
Yeah.
Now, Jim, what's happening here?
You're listening to the sounds of some local people who are scraping the barbasco vine. And it's this vine that will be mixed into the water to stun the fish. They actually mix it with some lime, and this mixture is put into the water. And that affects the fish's respiratory process. And they come up to the surface of the water gasping for air. And then the people who have gathered, now we're inside the cave, just inside, not very far inside. It's dark, but they've got it lit up now for people to come in and do this. They're bringing in baskets into the inside the cave, into this pool. And the fish come up. They put the barbasco and lime mixture into the water. The fish come up gasping for air, and they gather them with these baskets.
Now, these people don't venture farther into the cave, do they?
No, you're not going to want to go further into the cave unless you've got oxygen masks and protective clothing and so forth. But this is what it sounds like if you're well-equipped and you go inside the cave. Here's what it sounds like.
Now, Jim, you're saying that people shouldn't venture farther into the cave without some kind of protection. What is it about that area that they should not venture into?
There's no light. And bacteria are chowing down on oxidizing, you could say, metabolizing sulfur. And in the process of doing that, they actually create sulfuric acid. And that is part of the conditions of this cave. One of the first cave explorers in 1987 saw these, what appeared to be stalactites, you know, coming down from the ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
Except that these stalactites were, instead of being hard, were kind of soft and mucousy, and what it was dripping was like literally battery acid. And you're taking care not to put your hands to rub against the wall because it's sulfuric acid. You're seeing the gypsum on the walls. You're seeing a dynamic process because as this sulfuric acid is dripping off the walls, being generated, of course, by the bacteria and these mucus-like formations, it's actually helping in the formation of the cave. So the critters themselves, the bacteria themselves, are part of the process of enlarging and creating the cave. So it's in a sense evolving before our eyes.
I'm wondering what value such a cave has. I mean, if you have this sulfuric acid, it seems airless. I mean, what good is it?
Well, first of all, it's teeming with life. Not only are these fish, there's the bacteria. There are the things, the midges that eat the bacteria. There's the mites. There's the scorpions. There's the beetles. There's the spiders. There are bats. There's rodents. There's There's a whole slew of life. And in terms of even just the life in the stream that goes through the cave, it's incredibly fecund and rich with life. And so it's a remarkable ecosystem. They may not have photosynthesis, but what they lack in light, they make up in diversity. It's a remarkably diverse, healthy system. And one interesting thing about it is that NASA, for example, is very interested in this system. Why would you think? You make a guess?
Well, airless. Does this have something to do with another planet?
Right. Uh-huh. And the planet in question, of course, is Mars. We're very interested in exploring. It's next on NASA's radar screen to explore Mars. Well, there's a lot of sulfur on Mars, sulfur-rich environment. If there is or was life on Mars, it might be or could have been life much like what exists inside this cave. Mm-hmm.
Jim Metzner, thanks for joining us today.
It's my pleasure.
Jim Metzner is host producer of the radio feature Pulse of the Planet. And thanks to geologist Louise Hose of Chapman University in Orange, California, and Rick Pereira from CNN for those recordings.